Hi, Paul Flack is Good News Planet and Peace Day Party, speaking to my good friend, Reverend Susanna Bastarica. Hello, Reverend.
Good afternoon, Reverend Paul. How are you? I'm excited
I'm
to be
good.
Here
Thank
today.
Thank you very much. Susanna was kind enough to involve me and my company many years ago, maybe 14 or so, into gaining the knowledge that there was a day for peace, the International Day of Peace as declared at the UN. And Susanna, I 100% want to thank her. Susanna, how you been? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Paul. I have been planning the vigil pre-party on the 22nd of June at the Barrio Museo in 99th Street between 2nd and 3rd Avenues from 6 to 9 p.m. And all of the people that are coming to the Central Park event on the 18th of September for the Vigil for Peace and Ecology will be having a mini performance, and we're going to have a showcase of other artists that would like to be involved. We also will have the people that are coming from Woodstock, like Bob Eklund, Roland, Mindy, Sweet Marie, and all of the other people who have played with Pete Seeger. And Peter Yarrow might join us as well. So I'm very excited because we're doing a remembrance of 1960s pre-war and protest against the war. And 40 years later, the same thing is happening. We are all traumatized with the situations that are going abroad. And also we would like to involve people through music, art, and celebration to merge and bridge the community differences between us by showing and showcasing the good time we can do and the things that we can do together interactively to promote peace and happiness.
Well, you've been in the forefront here for so long. I've learned so much from you. Tell us about this year's vigil and what's going to go on. The date again is?
The date is going to be Sunday from 9 to 5 at the Central Park Bandshell, and it's going to be our 15th year anniversary. The vigil came about since 9/11 terrorist attack, and what happened was that we used to celebrate the International Day of Peace inside the UN, but the UN closed down, and then we went all around town singing and getting together and bringing food for the firemen and everybody else. So that way we created like a community in the neighborhood where we could go and share the things that we could do together, and always art, music, dance, and the power of harmony have been the way that keeps us together in celebration.
Beautiful. What's the website that you have, Reverend Susanna?
The website now that it's being refurbished because due to the quantity of volunteer to join this year is vigil4peace.org. www.vigil4peace.org. Vigil4peace.org.
Now you also have a great Facebook presence, don't you?
I'm sorry, yeah. In Facebook, we are the Vigil for for Peace and Ecology. We changed the name to Peace and Ecology. And it's also an event that's called Event Vigil for Peace and Ecology. And we have several sites, Random Acts of Kindness for Peace. And we have several postings because a lot of the people who have come throughout the years post their own events, and our purpose is to know everywhere in the world where people are gathering together to join in harmony or music or celebration, because although a lot of things are going on in the world, there's also places where people are happy in friendship and in togetherness and camaraderie and family, the world family.
And the world family is much bigger than the family that is causing some unpeaceful ways in our society, and that's good news, and that is the reality. We have a few confused people and want to use either violence or not nice ways, but most of the world is good, kind, loving, caring people, and I know you know that, Reverend Susanna, because
yes,
you're just
that
a positive person.
Well, I believe that there's like about 8 billion people approximately in the world, and not every human being is in conflict. The only thing that I see is that in the news they highlight one incident and they repeat it 100 times a day, so it looks like we have 100 incidents. But being from Uruguay and having been on vacation for my mother's 90th birthday, I realized how being there, the news are so different. Their concern is more like if it rained today and the cattle has food and, you know, we have like possibly flooding on the roads and things that are humane, human. We don't highlight like this vandalism that happened somewhere along the line. That doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, but the 3 million people that are in my country, they're not all fighting. You don't see that. And I live in New York City, which was one of the largest cities in the world, and people take the subway, they help you in the bus stop, you go to Central Park to take a stroll, and you see the dogs and the children playing and the birds chirping. We have a beautiful world. We just have to choose every minute if we pick the dark side or the happy side. And in our day, no matter how hard it goes, we can choose and we can have our determination as a challenge to go on if we have some kind of view or activism, rather than a struggle. Life is a struggle if we make it. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have constant problems and illnesses and things, but we can choose to desperation or we can choose a solution. And when we look back at our times and we see that the worst times of our lives we've overcome and we're still here and we can still do other things, and along the way some people get carried with us and in gratitude, like friends and families. And even if you look around, you can encounter lovely people. I became very friendly with my neighbor Stanley for the last 3 years of his life, and all he did is just wait for the elevator, and then one day he fell off the bed and he injured his leg. So I just started bringing him soup and bringing him a plate of food. Everyone life, he gave me his Metropolitan Opera subscription, and I enjoy that. And he was just somebody in the hallway that I see waiting for the elevator. And there's always opportunity for us to be inspiring and do a random act of kindness, that in reality we are here to serve the human race. We are here for each other. If we look at it, that's the only solution. We're interdependent.
You shared the two words, struggle and challenge. How did you put those together? In what way?
Well, I was doing like a workshop with some people, and they told me that the people who struggle, they see life and every day's challenge as an obstacle. There's always opportunity in every struggle to make it into a challenge, to excel into something positive. Because the challenges or slash struggles are always going to come. If we start complaining, oh, my God, this is so bad, that's a struggle. But if you say, okay, this too shall pass, there's always opportunity. The world is lavish and abundant. I can have a tomorrow, the sun, everything was going to happen again, and we can start over. And we forgive ourselves every minute, so instead of being always complaining. I had the opportunity this weekend, which is very interesting, to be with somebody. And the person started saying, oh, my God, so-and-so is so difficult. Oh, my God. And I said, you know what? How about if we don't talk about this person's name at all and we just look at what we're doing? We're having a delicious meal. We're at a beautiful swimming pool. Say the good things. Yes, the other person is going to be the way it's going to be, but bringing it to the conversation makes this a very unpleasant day for me. I wasn't having that difficulty. So we chose for 3 days not to talk about that person, and we came up with wonderful alternative conversations and beautiful things. We ended up talking about ski trips and things that we've done that are beautiful in life. No matter how hard things get, there is an opportunity for us to have a beautiful instant that we can look back and put us in that garden place in our hearts that we can say, yes, this is a good time. I, too, again, shall have good times.
I love it. You know, you also shared with me, Reverend, I don't know whether we call it a poem, a few minutes ago. Do you recollect what you had said and shared with me?
I don't remember exactly, but what I was going to say about the abundance feeling in our hearts is always opening our hearts to realize that everything that we do has a purpose, and the universe is lavish and abundant, and we are divinely guided and protected, and we have the choices that are beneficial for us in whatever endeavor that we take, and the supply is endless. The universal supply of gifts is endless. It's right there for us to take, and every time we say, I don't have so much money, or I don't have this or that, then when you look out the window, you have everything. You have a day, you have a night, you have a tree. And we have to thank God. And you said, I'm grateful, and I really relish in the divine abundance of God. I'm open and receptive to new avenues of income, to the good that's coming to me. It's already appointed in divine right order. And then we can go on, enjoy, knowing that something good is going to happen. Because no matter how much I've been a minister and a counselor during the 9/11 crises and all of the bereavement and the funerals and everything that I underwent, there was some commonality at the end of the tunnel that made us either have an embrace or a hug or share bread together or have a potluck dinner or just sing a round of songs. And that moment became precious. It would not compensate for what disappeared, but we started a new community in where we can help each other. And the service unto others is the only mission that we have. When we realize that we're born to serve God and to serve our community, then we started getting back. If we do everything like a struggle, I have to, I have to, I have to, then our life becomes half meaningless. But if we say, oh, I'm going to go ahead and pick up this thing and give this extra shirt to the homeless, or I'm just going to get an extra sandwich for my colleague, or do something that's simple, that you think it's simple, but the other person will have so much meaning to it because it's a gift of camaraderie and friendship. And a smile, a kind word, an act of kindness, and some kind of song or humming or just going to the park. It's something beautiful that we can do on our own and we don't need company. And just knowing the presence of God or our inner or our universal spirit is what's going to connect us with the rest. If we tap into the universal joy, we can get in our minds beautiful things instead of dwelling on the never-ending, what I call struggle, that could be an opportunity for some kind of learning.
Beautiful, beautifully stated. Thank you so much, Suzanne. Let me ask you two last quick questions. What's good news for you?
Good news for me today is that I don't have to have back surgery, so I'm very pleased because with the exercises, I'm revitalized and grateful.
Oh, you know, get right to the point. You're so beautiful. All right. And the last question is a dear one for both of us. What does peace mean for you?
Peace for me, being in the moment, helping one another to celebrate daily living. There's always something beautiful, a silver lining, even in loss of people, loss of personal objects. There's something new that comes out. I always use this, in the land of defeat, the seeds of hope are planted.
Susanna, Reverend Susanna, you're one smart, wonderful person. And thank you very much for sharing good news with us and your peace thoughts and every other wonderful life-affirming concepts on just living life a beautiful way, in the now, in the moment. You're just so good at all of this. Thank you for all the hard work you do and for keeping the vigil going for all these years. I mean, that's such a tribute. It really is. Thank you.
Please come the 22nd to the Art Center at 99th Street to celebrate with us and preview what we're bringing to Central Park at the vigil on the 18th of September. I hope you're well. Peace and love. Greetings. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.